We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson. My man Tyler Dragon from the Cincinnati Enquirer, the Bengals Beat writer. He's at Paul Brown Stadium. I'm in my living room. You have a nice view right now of your background. I mean, you're on your
back. I'm in the air right now. Don't worry about where I'm at. I'm in the air.
You're in the air. Okay, all right. Well, plenty to talk about with the Cincinnati Bengals. As you know, they wrapped up the NFL draft 2020, 3 days. Some would say we did pretty good. I know how you feel about draft grades, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. As I mentioned, you look national writers, you look locally, and a lot of people were giving them A's and B's. Tyler, you still feeling that way a couple days later?
I'm still feeling that way. I gave them a B+. Go on Cincinnati.com to check out a full grade breakdown of every single pick. They did pretty well in the draft. First pick, we all know Joe Burrow is a player that they've been wanting for a while. They got their man. And even in that second round with T. Higgins, I believe he's going to play right away in Cincinnati. Those two will have the biggest impact in year one. We'll see with these three rookie linebackers. Logan Wilson, he has pretty good instincts. He's a middle linebacker, adequate cover skills. He had 10 interceptions in college. If my honest opinion, I think the Bengals reached a little bit in the third round for him. I thought he was could probably be available in round four. The Appalachian State linebacker, Akeem Davis-Gaither, outside linebacker frame, kind of, well, actually as a frame, as a strong safety. And when I watched him on film, it's kind of funny. I thought in my head, Sean Williams. I know that he was playing linebacker, but it just looked like he was like a Sean Williams clone a little bit at that outside linebacker position. I know he needs to beef up a little bit if he wants to play linebacker at the NFL level, but he's athletic. He'll be probably playing right away on special teams, and that will be his biggest impact. Week one and early on in the season. And then the Purdue linebacker, Marcus Bailey, two big knee injuries in college, major knee injuries rather. That's why he kind of slipped to round seven. But the Bengals like his ability. When you drafting in those later rounds, sixth, seventh, and even fifth, you're taking a gamble on players. They might have a trait here or there that you like, and that's why you're taking a flyer on those guys in the later rounds. But, you know, overall, top to bottom, I believe the Bengals did good in the draft. I give them a B+ on my final report card.
I'm actually going to stick with linebackers right now because you mentioned Marcus Bailey. And as we mentioned before, he had that second round tape, and the injuries were a concern. You have to wonder if he didn't have those injuries where he would have fell in the draft, and if they just use him more as a – he should be ready by training camp. Look, we don't know what training camp's going to look like. The virtual offseason starts for the veterans today. And for rookies, they'll start getting to work with the coach and the coaching staff on May 11th. So everything got pushed back just a little bit. All of that's going to be interesting for rookies. And honestly, you just have to have your own discipline. But I still find those linebackers, how they're going to use them, if they're going to make that early impact, if they're going to be special teams. And you might find it silly, like what kind of impact are they going to make right away? Look at the linebacker room. I mean, look at that linebacker room. And Jermaine Pratt had to step up early his rookie year. And I think we're going to see more out of Jermaine Pratt just learning that position in the NFL. He's going to be the vet, the guy to go to learn from. So these guys they don't really have much of a choice. They're going to be stepping up.
Yeah, of course. I expect Jermaine Pratt. Don't forget about Josh Bynes. He's a veteran. This is going to be his first season in Cincinnati, but he's been in the NFL for a while. I do believe those two will start in the Bengals' base nickel defense. Like I said, Akeem Davis-Gaither, I believe he'll play a little bit at that linebacker spot, second string, maybe third string, Logan Wilson as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how these rookies develop, especially at that linebacker position, because as you said it, as we've said, as everybody said, that linebacker room is really thin.
I think their best offseason move so far is DJ Reader. It's really, yeah. I mean, just the impact that he's going to make. You look at championship football, you look at the playoff teams, and what do they have? They have a good defense. And I think the Bengals spent most of their offseason working on that and even the draft. So what's surprising about it is they always seem to have just past drafts where they get someone where you're like, And you mentioned that with Logan Wilson, like maybe he could have been there in the fourth round or maybe not. We'll never know what kind of impact he'll make until he gets on the field. But sometimes they do. And for example, Drew Sample last year, some would say they reached a little bit for him, and then he got injured. We really never saw anything from him. And Zach Taylor, really good about his tight end room. I felt like all of the picks made sense. And you can't say that about all the teams. I mean, you look around the NFL, you can't say that about them. Some would ask, oh, why did the Packers get a quarterback in the first round? But Cincinnati's picks just made sense. And even if they wanted a linebacker, a first-round type of linebacker in the second round instead of T. Higgins, this might end up working like A.J. Green's replacement. We don't know. You know, you hope they work out a multi-year deal and A.J. Green can stay healthy. But getting T. Higgins, first-round talent in the second round, this might work out for Joe Burrow and this whole offense and wide receiver room.
Oh, yeah. The Bengals did exactly what they did in 2011 when they drafted A.J. Green with the first round and then Andy Dalton in the second round, pairing a young receiver with a young quarterback. Deja vu all over again in 2020 when they drafted T. Higgins and Joe Burrow. So I do like the pairing. T. Higgins, I believe he's going to contribute right away. I already have Joe Burrow down as a starter. I know some people are like, well, you know, Andy Dalton could stick around or maybe ease Joe Burrow in. Joe Burrow is going to start week one. Trust me on that. And you said really, but there is some speculation that Joe Burrow might not start week one. Those words do not come over here. They're not for me. I believe he is going to start week one. And T. Higgins, I don't believe he's going to be a starter. If you look at my way too early depth chart, I believe he's going to be second string outside receiver. But I don't have him as a starter as of yet.
Look, here's how I feel, and I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible, and we'll have a goodbye tour if they decide to walk away from Andy Dalton and cut him loose or they restructure his contract. But here's my thing. Andy Dalton, he's done a lot of good things in Cincinnati. Absolutely. He won't get enough credit for it. You look at the playoff losses, it wasn't just on Andy Dalton. But again, Andy Dalton's best year, to hear that he was having an MVP type of season. He was playing out of his mind. He had an amazing offensive line, and that team was just chemistry on both sides of the ball. And this is nothing against Andy Dalton, but you know what you have in Andy Dalton. You know what you have. And obviously they make that pick in the first round. You don't give up. You don't trade up. You don't trade that pick away. And they knew they had something special in Joe Burrow. And I think when you look at that quarterback room, you got to move on. And even if you don't get a thing for Andy Dalton, and Doc wrote about it too on Cincinnati.com. I don't know if it's good to bring him back. And he's not a bad guy. He's a great leader, you know, good for a locker room, and it has nothing to do with that. I just don't think he should be back.
Yeah, if I'm Andy Dalton, I have a real honest conversation with Duke Tobin and even Mike Brown, and I would tell him, you know, I know the trading situation, it's probably not going to work out. The quarterback market, all the trades and all the quarterbacks that were, you know, maybe free agents or seeking trades, those days are over. Free agency, the dust is settled. The draft is the dust is settled. Just release me at this point and let me figure out where, you know, my best fit is. And if I'm Andy Dalton, I would have that honest upfront conversation. And the Bengals have said numerous times that they want to do right by Andy Dalton. And at this point, when it's almost May, doing right by Andy Dalton, in my eyes, is releasing him and letting him figure out his next chapter. And that, to me, is Jacksonville. But we'll see. By no means are the Bengals going to pay Andy Dalton $17.7 million to be a backup quarterback. I know there's people saying that the Bengals may restructure his deal, but that's a lot to ask for Andy Dalton, a player who's been to the Pro Bowl, a player who's had some success in this league, for him to not only accept a demotion, but then a pay cut? No. and I don't see Andy Dalton doing that. It's time for the Bengals and Dalton just to go their separate ways and wish him the best. Shake his hand, say you've done well for this team. You've been a great citizen in Cincinnati, and we appreciate everything you've done, but this is what we believe is best for you, and you've expressed that this is what you want, and I believe that's the way it's going to go. But We'll see. It hasn't happened yet.
No, and you can do worse in the NFL than having and you don't measure back a quarterback. I just think it's time to say goodbye. I think it's time to move on, and your focus is Joe Burrow as your starting quarterback, and not that the Bengals were, you know, confused on who should be the starting quarterback next year. I just think it's best for everyone involved, and unfortunately, you know, he's not in the trade market right now. There's just no other team that needs a starting quarterback. You have Cam Newton sitting on the sidelines right now, and he doesn't have a starting quarterback job. I think both of them will be on an NFL team, but I don't see the reasoning on just keeping Andy Dalton stringing along. And as you mentioned, the Bengals are trying to do best. They're trying to do the best thing. They still have a relationship with Andy Dalton. Brian Callahan was asked about it on draft night one night. And actually right before he was asked about it, he wanted to just say, I want everyone to know, like, we've been in contact, communication with Andy Dalton, and they have all the respect in the world. The Cincinnati Bengals aren't telling us anything about those conversations. They feel like they should be private. And they do. They want to show him, we have all the respect in the world for you, but, you know, they just it's an awkward situation.
Yeah, it is.
Situation for Andy Dalton, and it's unfortunate because he's one of those guys. He's almost like an Andrew Whitworth type of guy that when he goes to another team, you hope he succeeds. And I really hope that with Andy Dalton. I just don't know where he's going to start right now. And as we mentioned, Jacksonville seems like the best spot for him. I think the Patriots are just going to move on with Stidham and just see what happens this season. Everyone's saying they're going to tank for Lawrence, but I'm not even thinking about that right now. I think Jacksonville's a perfect spot for him. I actually want to see, as an NFL like person who loves the game, I actually just want to see offensive coordinator Jay Gruden and Andy Dalton in the same room again to see what they were able to do and see what they can do. And then you got a familiar face at tight end and Tyler Eifert. Offensive line, Tyler. I get nervous about tweeting this out, and I'll be completely honest. I tweeted it out, and then I deleted it right away because I was like, what? I don't want these mentions. I don't want these mentions. People are going to hate what I just said, and they're going to be like, you don't know anything. I'll say it again. Bengals offensive line, towards the end of last season, started to look better. I know that's not what people want to hear, and that's not okay. As you know, an NFL football team who went 2-14 can't get fixed in one NFL draft. They can't get fixed in one offseason. They did a lot. They did a lot to improve this team. What they spent in free agency was just not like the Cincinnati Bengals. And not to say they're cheap. They just don't spend that kind of money. And they were filling needs with players who were in their prime who can still perform. And we'll see that on the defensive side. What they were able to do in the draft, I mean, it doesn't stop with Joe Burrow. You go get a wide receiver in T. Higgins, who some would say be the next Chad Johnson or, you know, a familiar face, 9-85.
That's got the same number, yeah.
On the offensive side, we'll see what happens there. But the offensive line is something that we feel like the Bengals are telling us without really saying a whole lot about it. They believe in the guys they have. Of course they're looking for upgrades. Of course it's competition to see who should be out there. Honestly, I think Zach Taylor last season is proving to you he's not just putting a guy out there because he was a first-round pick. You look at that at the center position. It wasn't – and he always told us it wasn't because Billy Price wasn't good enough to be center. It was because Trey Hopkins was just the what he was doing at center was better. And it's no knock on Billy Price, but Trey was just better. And they like what they saw of him. So you know what? I know you're a first-round pick, but Trey's better. So we're going to put Trey out there. And you started to see that in other positions. When they cut Preston Brown last season, it was like, it's not good enough. They signed Preston Brown last offseason. That linebacker room last season, those were the guys they were bringing back. And honestly, Zach Taylor, to his credit and his coaching staff, needed a whole entire year to evaluate. This is what we were dealing with. They showed you draft weekend what they think about that linebacker room. I mean, it is telling. But when it comes to the offensive line, I truly feel like with Jim Turner, and I was actually just talking to an offensive line scout and developer who's working with Jonah Williams, Billy Price, and he pretty much told me it is about developing. It is about scouting. He goes, they have Jim Turner again. And I know some people feel about Jim Turner. There was a lot of offensive line news last season. It was a little bizarre and crazy. But he's had conversations with him, and he says it's about chemistry. And Trey Hopkins told me that. I remember talking to him during a preseason game, and I said, what is it about the offensive line? You know, you're going into this season, what are you looking for? You're almost like the leader of the offensive line being the center out there. And he's like, honestly, the hardest thing, and we joked about it because we said it was like musical chairs. It's hard when there's not chemistry and we're working together every game. And they were switching out because they're trying to see what's happening. I mean, you got guys who the Bengals were signing late last offseason and Fred Johnson. They still believe in Bobby Hart. can their new rookie play right tackle? I mean, what's going to happen on the right side of the ball? Jonah Williams, you're getting a first-round pick on the left side. I think offensive line, and I know we've talked about it, and we're going to be talking about it. Honestly, Tyler, since you got here, we've just been talking about offensive line. Like, day one, we talked about it every day of our podcast last season. It was offensive line. Talk about this guy. Let's talk about this guy. And some will say, well, the Bengals need to drop another offensive line early. You look at some of the guys who dropped in the NFL draft to the third and fourth round, who some thought the Bengals were going to get in the second round. Was the NFL telling you what they think of him? And I think that was telling, because it wasn't insanely crazy that they're like, oh, why didn't you get someone in the second round? Why didn't you get someone in the third round? And there are draft grades out right now who Daniel Jeremiah, I respect. He does his homework. He was on the NFL draft day coverage. I know how fans feel about some national media members, but that guy knows his stuff. He straight up said today that he felt like the Bengals sixth round pick had the highest value out of all of the players. He could have been a fourth round pick. I mean, so I think they're telling us what they think of their offensive line. That's not even a question. That's a statement.
Okay. Yeah. You did another monologue there.
I need to drink water.
Yeah. You got to drink water after that one. You hit me with a, okay. So
everyone can see how we react now.
I will say this. We all know that the Bengals offensive line was subpar last year. I will say that London game against the Rams, they started showing signs of improvement. Then they had the bye week. And then after the bye week, they started getting noticeably better. And Joe Mixon said it best, you don't have a 1,000-yard rusher in the backfield with a terrible offensive line. Well, maybe sometimes you can if you're Barry Sanders, but overall, the offensive line at the latter portion of the year, they started to perform well, like you said. Now, is that offensive line good enough to be successful and to win you games and just dominate opponents? No. They have a lot of work to do to reach the offensive line of, say, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 49ers, the Dallas Cowboys. Bengals are far away from that. But they are working on it. They're improving. And it is about chemistry. It's about moving in a cohesive unit. They worked on being, instead of zone blocking scheme in the run game, they did more hat in the hat man blocking. And you started seeing improvements there. So overall, this offensive line, they're going to be better. I mean, they have nowhere else to go but up from last year. And they ended the year strong. So it's a positive note that you're ending week 16, week 17, with positive gains, running the football, and Andy Dalton had a lot of protection back there. He wasn't, a dead man walking week 16 and 17. Now, you have two new additions on that offensive line. Jonah Williams, first-round draft pick that the Bengals believe is going to be an anchor at that left side for years to come, and is basically a rookie. Michael Jordan, I believe, is going to start at that left guard position, not to be mistaken with Michael Jordan Chicago, we all know. I had to throw a Last Dance in there real quick. So Michael Jordan, then you have center Trey Hopkins, signed him to that extension in December. They believe that he is one of the better centers in football, very smart, does not make mistakes, can help Joe Burrow out with coverages, with alignments, and just be another voice in his ear. Xavier Suofilo.
Xavier,
whatever you want to call him.
Give him a hard time.
I believe he's going to start at that right guard position. He's more experienced at left guard, but he has had some snaps at right guard when he with the Cowboys. And then I know fans don't really like him. He was the most penalized offensive lineman on the Bengals last year. But Bobby Hart, I have him penciled in at that right tackle spot starting for the Bengals. So overall, this offensive line on paper looks better than it did last year at this time. And it looks better than it has been in a while, quite frankly. So we'll see. I don't really like saying it's going to be good because it's on paper. These players, these five offensive linemen and the backups need to show me on the field what they can do. But the Bengals, they did address the offensive line. I would have liked to have seen them draft offensive linemen earlier in the draft. But as you mentioned, Hakeem Adeniji, he was got a fourth-round grade by some scouts. So he should be in the mix, especially because he's a versatile lineman. He can play tackle. He's a four-year starter at tackle at Kansas. But at the Senior Bowl, we all know that he was playing that guard position. And the Bengals like him at guard, but they're going to try him out at both positions.
Yeah,
I was talking a monologue like you, so I need to stop now.
There's so much to say. We're just getting started. No, but when you look at that right side and you mentioned Hakeem, I actually just got done talking with the scout who's working with him closely, worked with him to prep him up for the NFL draft. And I asked him, I was like, you know, the Bengals offensive line, when you look at the right side, is it hard for him to switch from tackle to guard? And him telling me, he's like, we're working him on both positions right now. They're working him hard on both, and he knows the weakness on the Bengals offensive line right now, and he's working with Billy Price, and they're going through the same situation. I asked him, I was like, how long have you been working with Billy Price? Billy called him when the season ended. Billy knew. See, here's the thing about Billy Price. I want to give him some credit. And it happened last season when he lost the starting job. He didn't say, oh, I'm so bummed. I'm going to be bitter. This is the way it's going to be. The guy worked harder. And I think him giving the phone call to an offensive line scout who works with NFL players and college players and says, look, let's be realistic. There's still weak spots on this I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that. But there's weak spots on this offensive line. There's positions out there. And Billy Price could start on that line, depending on the competition and to see how that goes. Look, there's a lot of offseason left. There's a lot of unknowns. We're really not going to see a whole lot until we get to training camp. I'm going to say right now, and again, follow doctor's orders, I don't think that we're going to see any offseason workouts. Normally, when they're having OTAs and voluntary workouts, we get to go to Paul Brown Stadium. At the moment, I don't see any of that happening. Again, to be determined. And you hope when training camp gets here that we'll be able to see some of that and evaluate that. If not, talking to people who are close with them. And we'll hear more from Duke Manyweather. That interview will actually be up on Inquirer. And just as the season goes on, because again, the offensive line, still going to be a story when you have a rookie quarterback in Joe Burrow. But when you look at it, and you mentioned the guy, Bobby Hart, what do you think this team likes about Bobby Hart?
Well, he is a veteran, and he does practice hard. He's a leader in that offensive line room. He takes a lot of the younger players under his wing. And, you know, he's not a bad player. Sometimes he has just mental mistakes and lapses. And you see that in his penalties. And, you know, sometimes he struggles with speed rushers. He is a strong guy, but his technique breaks down a lot with speed rushers. And when he's going up against those upper echelon pass rushers, that's when he gets exposed a little bit. But overall, he's a serviceable right tackle. I wouldn't want to see him at that left tackle spot when you're going up against the best of the best as far as pass rushers. But as a right tackle, he's a starting caliber right tackle, maybe on a great team, offensive line team. He's probably a second tier, second string offensive lineman. But overall, the Bengals believe that he's a productive player. He just has mental lapses, and that shows in penalties, and that also shows with his technique sometimes when he gets beat.
Joe Burrow, I think this is kind of interesting because after the Bengals picked him, there were reports that he's been studying the playbook for weeks and he's ahead of the game. He's going to be ready to go to compete for that starting quarterback job. But Joe pretty much told us, and look, I don't know if Joe and the Bengals are just trying to keep things under wrap that they weren't going over the playbook or what, but Adam Schefter, who's really plugged in, said, I'm hearing that he was studying the playbook at that time. Do you think that stuff's happening or was happening? I mean, either way, it's beneficial for the Bengals offense. They were keeping it kind of quiet when we asked
them. 100%. I mean, I'm telling you, I heard from a high-level source in December that they were going to go with Joe Burrow. So if I heard that in December,
yeah,
January, February, you meet him at the combine for the first time in February. You've already had talks probably with his agent and, you know, rumblings with, at LSU already. So in that private 18-minute meeting and then the weeks after, of course, of course they told him, hey, you know, we're going to draft you number one overall. And he gave him the stamp of approval. I would love to be a Bengal. And then the rest is history. Okay, we're going to give you some plays. And when they went over those virtual meetings, they gave him plays too. How would you handle this play in this situation? How would you do this if you see this blitz or this defensive alignment? And they gave him some plays to study. And Mike Brown wrote him, well, not typed him a letter.
I love it. I love it.
I can just see Mike Brown on the computer right now typing him a letter. A couple days before the draft, and the Bengals, Joe Burrow received that on Wednesday. But to answer your question, Joe Burrow knew he was going to be a Bengal for a while. A while.
It's funny because Zach Taylor, and again, look, I think Zach was just trying to be, like, nice about the other picks. He was like, look, we decided on this about 2 weeks ago. We want to do our homework. And I was like, that does not add up, because I think a lot of people thought after the national championship game, or when they secured it, people can even go back to that Miami game, but I think when they secured that number one pick, everybody knew they're getting Joe Burrow as their quarterback. But again, we'll never know.
Well, yeah, well, what benefit do you have saying anywhere, yeah, we're going to draft Joe Burrow? Like, what benefit do you have? You want to do your due diligence and your homework on the other top prospects. Chase Young, by a lot of people's accounts, was the best overall player in the draft. You would be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't even kick the tires with him just to do your homework and see what he's like. Even Tua, but when last year started, was the consensus number one overall pick or top quarterback. So you want to do your homework on him. Justin Herbert, last year in a 2019 draft, a lot of people had Justin Herbert as the number one pick if he were to come out. His senior year, he kind of fell off a little bit and fell down the draft board a little bit, a couple picks. But he went number six to the Chargers. So you want to do your homework on all those players. And the Bengals did, but they were locked in on Joe Burrow. But you need to do your due diligence and study all those top prospects just in case – you might change your mind, but the Bengals, they had their eyes set on Joe Burrow for a while now, and it became official, what, 4 days ago?
Oh, good. I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore.
I know, right?
You know what I do know? That's over. All of that to the number one draft pick is over, and I do agree with you. I think the Bengals did their homework, because when you guys asked about it, when Tua was brought up or any other quarterback, Duke and Zach could tell you about them, you know, their conversations, what they watched from them, and they did talk to those guys, but Joe Burrow was going to be their number one pick. And I want to go back to this just a little bit, not to go back on old news, because, you know, you've written about it. I know we did a recap video after Burrow was picked, but just listening to him in the post-presser when he was just talking about how he looks at postseason, because he knew that question was going to happen. He's like, look, I have social media. And knowing that he looks at postseason differently. He looks at it as week by week, the process. And some would say, you know, maybe a softball answer, but he puts in the work. And he's not cocky. He just has confidence. And he has the confidence because he's like, I work hard. I know I work hard. So just imagine this guy having this virtual offseason. They get to start it on May 11th. The work ethic that he's going to be putting in during this time. Like I mentioned, you have to be disciplined players, rookies, veterans, everybody. I mean, they're counting on you to get this stuff done and do this without them being there, you being on the field. Offseason workouts, virtual work, it's all so different. And I think that's what's interesting. And I think you pick the right guy at the right time to be your quarterback when you're dealing with that, because we saw what he did at LSU. And I truly believe, it sounds silly and cliche, I mean, dude's going to work hard. He's going to work so hard to show this town, show this city, and say, I'm here for a reason. And he was asked about that, kind of like the national media narrative. And he's like, man, I couldn't say anything. I couldn't, you know, just defend myself. And that had to be the hardest. And he does want to be here. He wants to be in Cincinnati. And I think he likes that as a little bit of a challenge and maybe a little chip on your shoulder to show, like, I know you think that, you know, the city can't win. He said winning culture several times. Mm-hmm. winning culture back to the city. And it might not be right away, but I think they're heading in the right direction with what we saw in 3 days in the NFL draft. And as I mentioned, you can't fix a whole 2-14 team in one draft. And if they do, you guys can go back and replay this podcast and tell me I was wrong during Super Bowl week if I get all this wrong. But I'm just saying, you can't fix a whole team in one offseason, but they tried. They really tried this offseason with the money they spent.
Yeah, they made a considerable effort. You can't say the Bengals have not sat in their hands this offseason. They spent upwards of $150 million on free agents, and they're trying to change the culture. Draft, they hit on the draft. At least that's what we think, especially with those top two picks. And then signing DJ Reader, a one technique defensive tackle. Trey Waynes is going to start at that one cornerback position. You got Josh Bynes, another starter right there. Von Bell is going to start too. Like they got a lot of starters. Xavier is going to start.
You know how I feel about that.
Right guard. So they have they worked their tails off this offseason. That's credit to Duke Tobin and all the Bengals front office and the coaching staff, because they have said repeatedly that they were embarrassed after going 2-14, and they wanted to use this offseason as an opportunity to get better. They wanted to be aggressive in free agency, and they wanted to attack the draft. And you know my mindset. I'm like, okay, well, you could talk, but prove it. Prove it with your actions. And they did. They proved it with their actions. They spent with one of the most aggressive teams in the entire National Football League in free agency. And they picked number one in each round in the draft, and they used those picks wisely. They addressed the linebacker position in a big way, drafting three linebackers. They drafted a defensive end. They drafted an offensive lineman late, but they still got an offensive lineman, and they got the quarterback that they've been coveting for almost a year, it seems like. And then they got
2 years.
Yeah. And then they got a receiver to pair with them, just like they did, like I said, in 2011 when they drafted AJ and Andy. So now you have the 2020 version with T. Higgins and Joe Burrow.
I'm just saying, and I mentioned to you, I talked about this with you last week, when you look at that 2-14 season and rebuilds in Cincinnati and not winning playoff games in almost 30 years, and you almost wonder if 2-14 was when it all turned around. It's all to be determined. Look, I don't know how fast they can turn it around. I don't know what it's going to look like, because the AFC North is still good and got better. But when you look at this team as a whole, they're trying, and they're proving to fans, like, we are trying to win. And Zach Taylor said that, and the supporting cast that Joe Burrow is going to have right now, this isn't a bad offense. I know there's a narrative when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, like, look what you're dealing with, or that's one of the worst offenses, and he didn't have that at LSU. I think a lot of NFL teams would take that wide receiver room right now.
Oh, yeah. AJ Green, I mean, despite all the injuries that he's had of late, still a number one wide receiver. Tyler Boyd, one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. John Ross, speedster, fastest 40 time in NFL history at the combine. That receiver room is loaded. That could be their best position group on offense. On paper, it certainly is. So, and then you add T. Higgins to the mix. That's a great receiving room. It might be the best in the AFC North. The only competition that I can think of is the Cleveland Browns with Odell Beckham.
They don't even know how to use Odell Beckham, so I don't know.
they really don't. But that's their only competition in the wide receiver room in the AFC North.
All right, quick draft recap. Again, we have videos from 4-7, 1, 2, and 3 up on Cincinnati.com. I'm actually going to talk. We talked a lot about the Senior Bowl connection. I'm going to talk with Jim Nagy tomorrow, and we'll talk about that linebacker room and some of Cincinnati's NFL draft day weekend moves. And go check those out on Cincinnati.com. Tyler, what is up there?
So John Fay has a great piece on the Bengals draft process and how they went after guys with high character. 6 of their 7 picks were actually team captains. I have a story on T. Higgins having hit the same number as Chad Johnson, as we mentioned. My draft grades are all up there, and I have a few more stories coming this week as well.
Stay tuned again, Cincinnati.com. Over on Twitter, E&Q Sports. We have plenty coming during virtual offseason workouts and we countdown training camp. Thanks for joining us on the Bengals Beat Podcast.